All right, Judges chapter 13, please. Judges chapter 13. I don't have a microphone, and I don't know who to blame, because it could not possibly be my fault. Big B, do you still have it? Maybe the microphone went to heaven. All right, let's stand, please. Judges chapter 13. I don't know if I am allowed to do what I'm going to do. I did not ask permission, but I have a full sermon, and I'm only going to preach one point because we're going to be done by 7 o'clock. You only have one point. Isn't that nice? Judges chapter 13, please, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again. Of course, that little word again is rather important. They did evil again. Where? Where? Thank you, Big B. Would you like to be on camera? Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. I'm going to speak tonight on Coram Deo. I have a complete sermon, but I realized, Coram Deo, folks, it's in the bulletin. What's it mean? Yeah, or in the before the face of God, before God. It's kind of an idiomatic expression of how do we live our life? We live our life from the King James, in the sight of the Lord. That's Coram Deo. We live before God. Just that simple. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for this time. May you bless, may you help, may you encourage. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to start in the notes. I have a funny story to tell, but I might keep it till next week. Or should I tell it now? Should I tell it now? But if I tell it now, yes, okay. A pastor went over to somebody's house to visit. They had a lovely meal, and the wife got out the good, sacred silverware. You know, in America, we call everything silverware, and almost none of it is silver. I would say just about zero. And even if it's silver, it's silver-plated. It's not silver. Oh, I don't know any, but maybe somebody has it. Anyhow, the pastor went over, and this family had the real stuff. And they were supposedly Christians. So when they were over there, the pastor wasn't real impressed with their Christianity. And the wife had either the family Bible or some kind of Bible there on the table. And, you know, they had a meal, and he was polite, and he left. And after he was gone, they noticed that one of the special, very expensive, exclusive spoons was missing. And the wife said, who took it? Well, there was only the family and... So they thought the pastor stole. So she went to church the next week and said, you know what, pastor came over, and he ate with us, and he took... And it was a special spoon. I don't know, serving spoon, who knows what. Well, this went around the whole church. Chismas, gossip. Went around the whole church, and finally, the pastor heard it. The pastor went to them, and they said, pastor, I think you stole our silverware. Our fancy, handed-down heirloom, real silver, whatever. Pastor said, no, I didn't. She said, well, it was there when you came, and it wasn't there when you left. And he says, no, it's right where I left it. It's in your Bible. Some of you take you several months to figure out what I just said. I want to say this to all of you. If you never figure me out, here is Ralph Warren. I'm interested in people coming to know Christ and living a life by the Bible. That's it. Not complex, not weird, not strange. That's it. By the way, it's very difficult to live by the Bible when you never open it. and you never meditate about on it, and you never think about it. Let's start. Was that a good story? So the ladies, if you want to hide something from your husband, put it in the Bible, in your notes. Religion was common in the ancient Near East. That is the technical term for the Old Testament era and that whole part of the world. So friends, if we could somehow go back in time and we went to the time of the judges or even before, you could not go any place without religion. Religion was every place. Lots of religion. In fact, I say it was ubiquitous every place you went. Every culture had their gods. Smaller regions, and we find this in the book of Judges and Kings, smaller regions or cities or villages had their own manifestation of their god or gods. So not only were there gods, and by the way, we know this in not so much in America, but in other countries, Philippines, Mexico, lots of countries, you have their god, which is Maria, but you don't just have Maria. You have to understand, I'm a country boy. First time I heard the Virgin of Guadalupe, I'm like, what is that? I couldn't figure out what that meant. Because to me, you know, there was a Virgin Mary, but I didn't know she somehow was from, I don't know. And then I hear there's lots of virgins. By the way, that's the ancient world. Lots of it. Every little place had their own spin. This is why we often read of, Balaam, and Ashtoreth. Because those are plural words. Because if you lived in Zion, you had your little Baal. And if you lived in Beach Park, you had another Baal. And if you lived in Gurnee, you had another Baal. And if you lived in Waukegan, you had another Baal. So you had Baalim, plural. Ashtaroth is feminine plural. Astarte, you had a different one. And you just kind of created them in whatever way you wanted to. So in your notes, I asked the question, why was religion so popular? And by the way, it still is. Religion goes well. Well, first of all, it was local or localized. And why is that significant? You created your religion the way you liked it. Have you ever talked to people and witnessed to people? Answer the question. Do you realize everybody has religion? What kind is it? It's self-created. I talked to a family. A man was dying. They were pretty convinced he was going to heaven because of what? Because he's a good guy. And he was going to go to heaven and he would ride Harleys and drink beer with Jesus. Folks, all that is what the ancient Near East. Everything is kind of like, you know, it's local. We just kind of make it up. It's our God in, you know, this area. My subdivision, you know, my barangay, you know, where I live. We just make it up. Well, it was also beneficial. Almost all of the gods were meant to give you good luck, help you make choices. So, I mean, friends, the Old Testament's filled with this stuff. I don't have time tonight. I need to get done quickly. Friends, if we had time to go to Ezekiel or Deuteronomy, Ezekiel has one of my favorite passages where it talks about cutting the liver. So, you know, the joke is, does your liver quiver? Or they would take arrows and shoot them and how they land. I mean, most of the documents in the ancient world that we have discovered, you know, cuneiform, you'll see them at the University of Chicago, that carving, they either have one of two purposes. One purpose is this: Atong bought three pigs for me and he owes me so much money. Most of them were commercial and the other ones, magical. So-and-so God, I gave certain offering and that God is going to bless me. So religion was just kind of like having, what do you call that? Good luck charm? Something to rub? Yes, that was pretty normal. Next, it was useful. Specifically, Baal and Astarte, because Baal and Astarte were considered kind of husband and wife, and they were very useful for your crops. Because in the big picture, they were gods together of fertility. Baal, of course, was the god of storms or rain. And, you know, so you put them together and, man, this is really useful. Next, they were ceremonial or external. And you say, what does that mean? Friend, you could be part of the religion. Hey, and it didn't impact one thing you did. It was just ceremonies. The Roman gods. My goodness, my wife and I just watched a bunch of material about the Roman Empire. The Roman religions were external, ceremonial. They didn't even understand, they couldn't understand why Christians would gather together and read the Bible and sing and pray, because what they did was the forms, the symbols. You entered in, you threw a little bit of dust here and put some coins here and crossed yourself here, and everything was ceremonial, but it wasn't personal and moral. It was just, you did this stuff as a group. So it was ceremonial, external. It was also, in many of them anyhow, emotional. And you say, what do you mean by emotions? Friends, I'm not opposed to emotions, but all of you know, and I'll keep this very clean, that the Middle East, in Samson's day, they combined, take a breath, Baal and Ashtoreth were always portrayed as husband and wife. Plus you added alcohol. So when you did your religion, you did religion, listen, alcohol, and that's pretty nice. Just joined all in, just got all confused. So friends, when you're reading the book of Judges, every 3 seconds, everybody is departing from the Lord. You say, why is that? Because you can go to a church every street corner around here and live any way you want to live, do anything you want to do, believe anything you want to believe. As long as you get some emotions, everything is fine. It's emotional. Strangely, it was highly impersonal. And this is one of the strangest things of all, meaning you had no relationship with your God. Did you hear some of the songs we sang tonight? Did you hear Mike pray, lead us in prayer? I actually believe we're praying to God. That wasn't the thinking of the ancient world. The gods were distant. You did certain ceremonies. You gave certain amounts of money, hoping to get their, you know, favor on what you wanted to do. But there was not a personal relationship. Can I ask you a question? What am I looking for at Lake County Baptist? Here it is. I want you to know the Lord and follow the Lord by the Bible. That's it. No secrets, no weirdness, no strangeness. That's it. But I would prefer that you actually know the Bible. All right. We only have one point tonight, Coram Deo. Coram Deo is simply this. It's found in our text from the story of Samson. We live before the face of God. That's what we can call Coram Deo. We live before the face of God. Now, there's some other ideas wrapped up in that. But at the key, the core of this is that concept. And friends, in the next 20 minutes, we're going to be done with this, but you're going to see something, I promise you. Did anybody hear anything in Sunday school they had never heard before? What was missing from the era of the judges? And all of the holidays. No wonder why they were a mess. Well, tonight, I'm going to flip the switch a different direction. You'll learn some things. In your notes, we could and have produced many arguments. I don't mean arguments. I'm talking about technically reasons for the historicity and truthfulness of Scripture, but not this now. What we're going to do tonight is just ask this question. What is a biblical faith like? It's not like the pagan religions. First of all, a biblical faith is universal. Christianity never, ever allowed you to create religion in your own image. Christianity is God revealing Himself. And we worship the God that has revealed Himself, listen, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the patriarchs, through Moses, through the Old Testament. So friends, when we come to worship God, to follow God, we're not making it up. It's universal. Every place you go, we teach and preach the same thing. Well, that's exactly the opposite of the Baal cults. Baal cults, in your area, if you were Jewish, hey, you're going to come to it in Judges chapter 8. After Gideon dies, they take Baal, Baal, and they combine it with the beautiful Hebrew word for covenant, Baal Berit. And you say, what are they doing? Mixing and matching, creating your own. Biblical Christianity is always universal. It's the same for every person, every place. Secondly, it is moral. We'll talk about that more next week. You say, what do you mean by moral? God cares how you live. Do you think that's true? I'm asking you, do you think that's true? Then I got a question. Why do we have so many churches that don't seem to be interested? Folks, how do you say, Pastor, how do you know that? I talk to the children, and they're obviously never been around biblical Christianity of any variety at any time. And then you bump into the parents, look at me, who will look you right in the eyes and lie to you, steal from our school without blinking. Their Christianity has no morality. My unsaved father has more morality than many people that I know that call themselves Christians. Next, it is personal. Friends, one of the beauties of Christianity is it's personal. Now, that is both good and bad. It is personal. It is also, I probably should put also in there, it is also communal. You say, what do you mean? It's not just a personal thing where it's about me. It's really about us. But it's something that I have a relationship with God, but we come together and we have a relationship with God. So the interesting thing is Christianity was not external. It was not just ceremonies. It was something personally, always from the beginning, a personal relationship with God. And we come together with other believers in the Old Testament and in the New in different ways, but it's always communal. We come together. Of course, both of them are true. And lastly, it is historical. It is the God and Father of Abraham, Israel, Isaac, Jacob. I mean, it's just something, it's not something we make up. I'm going to just read one verse for time of these three. Look at 2 Timothy 2:19. Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Can I tell you something? Do you understand how personal that is? Look at me. In the ancient world, you were pretty not sure that any God ever knew you. You did things to hopefully get his favor. But friends, in the Bible, God knows you. In your notes, I'm now going to demonstrate that through text. Now, by the way, every one of these texts are very negative, but I'm going to repeat over and over what we find. So in your notes, we understand that this language is using human analogy. As if God has eyes. Friend, God doesn't have eyes. But what do we use eyes for? To see. So the question is, can God see us? And the answer is yes. So the whole idea is somewhat taking human concepts and putting them on God, but it's still true that God sees. We'll talk about that in a moment. Now, I have more Hebrew in your notes tonight than you've ever seen, and I think you'll figure out why at the end. So let me give you a hint. In most languages, you have singular words, bat, plural word, bats. Everybody? Hebrew has something weird. It also has something in between called a dual. It always stood for why? And guess one of those duals. Guess another one. Guess another one. Anything you had two of, it was a strange structure. It was a dual. Every one of these texts are dual. Look with me in Judges 13. You do not have to read it. I just want you to see it. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Friends, in Hebrew, and you read Hebrew backwards, so you have to start on the right side and read backwards. The first letter is the bait preposition, which means in, with, and by. And the next word is eyes, dual. So please look at me. The text literally reads, there's a reason I'm going here. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he was watching, and he knew what they did. Now, does he have eyes? He can see. I don't think he needs eyes. But the image, all right, let's look at the next text. Judges chapter 2, verse 11. You'll probably notice they're the exact same Hebrew words. The children of Israel did evil, Yahweh, in the eyes of the Lord. Judges 3, verse 7. And the children of Israel did evil, Yahweh, in the sight or in the eyes of the Lord. Next page, please. Judges 3, verse 12. And the children of Israel did evil, what? By the way, God is not some distant God that's not interested. Friends, if you're in a relationship with God, it is a relationship with God where he sees you, he knows you. Yes, you can know him, but it's not a joke. It's not ceremony. It's not carrying some, you know, idol down a path. It is something very personal because God sees you. You're in the sight of God, before the face of God. That's what Coram Deo means. All right, let's keep reading. Judges 4. And the children of Israel did evil. It's the same word again. Yahweh. In the sight or in the eyes of the Lord. Judges 6:1. It just keeps repeating. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord or in the eyes of the Lord. You say, Pastor, why are you bringing this out of the King James? You'll figure out in a moment. Judges 10. And the children of Israel did evil again in the what? Eyes of the Lord, the sight of the Lord. I say in your notes, it's quite easy to miss the point in all of the negative behavior. Friends, the most important thing to recognize is that God sees. Don't get goofy. Don't try to figure out, but God sees us. But more importantly, in many ways, God knows. Or we could say it this way. He knows about us. He knows us. Thirdly, he knows us both as an individual and communal. So both, he knows Ralph Warren. He knows me. He sees me. I am in a relationship, coram deo, in the sight of God, in the face of God, before the face of God. Don't get caught up in the eye. The idea is I live in a personal relationship with God, but strangely, we live in that same relationship. So let me just say this. You guys are not, you're alive. When people do stupid things, it affects all of us because he not only looks at you, but he looks at us. By the way, every text you read never mentioned that Samson did evil in the sight of the Lord. It said the children of Israel. God sees us both individually and collectively or communally as a church. Next, this is kind of important. God can be known. So not only God knows us, we can know him. Say, how do we know him? Not by meditating on the sky, but by meditating on Scripture, we come to learn what God is like. And God is moral. He gives 10 commandments. God gives a path to live. He tells us how to live. He wants us to live that way. Everything is organized that way. Now, please look at me. We're almost done. Things are going to really get ugly now. Because in the King James, it is impossible to see what is in Hebrew. But it is there with all of its ugliness. And when we're done, I'm sorry, this is not a happy night. It's not negative, it just ends where it ends. Point number one, are you all ready? By the way, what are we talking about? Look up here. In the eyes of the Lord. Yes? Coram Deo. What does that mean? It means to live your life in the eyes of the Lord, before the Lord, by the face of God. In your notes, I say this becomes difficult to hear. Judges 17, would you read with me, please? Again, you don't have to read the Hebrew, but I will. In those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man, by the way, or woman. Does it mean every? The answer is no. There were exceptions. Boaz was an exception. I think on the whole, Deborah was an exception. I am sure Samuel was an exception, or we agreed to those three. But on the whole, every man did that, which was what? Where? Where? So instead of it being in the eyes of God, we live our life doing what is right in our own eyes. Do you get the contrast? Read the text. Don't read ahead. This is the theme of the book. The whole theme of the book is found four times partially, but two times fully. Judges 17 and Judges 21 gives us the full statement as the author gets to the end of the book and he says, now I want to look back to the book and I want you to understand in those days, the days of the judges, every man, there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right. Look at me, in the eyes of God? Nope, in his own eyes. And friend, what I've been trying to do my whole pastoral life is get people to stop looking and seeing things in their own eyes and saying, what does God think about this? What does his word think about this? Is that fair? We continue. How did Samson do with this? Here's what you can't miss. By the way, friends, exactly the same language. Let's turn to Judges 14. We'll read the text. Judges 14, please. You can come back to these verses in your notes. Judges 14. Judges 14 and verse 1, please. Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, and I have seen this for decades, get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there never, which implies that he probably had this problem earlier. Do you realize pattern behavior tends to run in patterns? Do you realize when people do things, they tend to continue to do the same things? He says, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among any all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, here's the King James, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Friends, that's a good translation, but it's not what the Hebrew says. So look back in your notes. You don't have to trust me. You can read and see enough to know. Look at the text, Judges 14, verse 3. The highlighted portion says this. Because, that's key. Key, the next word is, you're going to like this, Dada. Dada, do you know the word for she in the Bible? In Hebrew. The word for she is he. So it says, because, key, he. And then it has this word that it is the exact same word that's found. He did that. It was right. It was right. That's a word that means right or straight. In where? Where? So look at me, friend. Are you hearing me? When you ever think about Samson, ever again, this is what you think about. The author of the Word of God said, you know what the book of Judges was like? In those days, there was no king in Israel. Say it. Every man. And Samson was living proof. He said to his mom and dad, she is right in my eyes. And guess who makes all choices? Whatever I want, what I think is right. Just in case you missed it the first time. Judges 14:7. We can look in the notes. He went down, he talked with a woman, and she pleased Samson well. So, you have the word asa, and then you have the word, it's the same word, right again, in his eyes, and then you have Samson's name, which would be Shamshon in Hebrew. Friend, please look at me, and I'm almost done. The whole book of Judges is living coram deo, before the face of God. But you can't live with the living God and Him not notice. And look at me. And He doesn't care about what's right in your eyes. Sadly, that's the whole book. And Samson is the only person. By the way, you know how I learned this? I made a mistake. I read the verses in Hebrew and I thought, I wonder how many times I is found in the book of Judges. You just read them. Well, almost. It's found two other times, is it not? Yes or no? By the way, remember, duel? Yes or no? Thank you. Look at the last point. Let me give you the points. I said this. This becomes difficult to hear because this is the theme of the book, that people did that which was right in their own eyes. And Samson modeled the theme. Everything Samson ever did, was Samson doing what was right in his own eyes? You say, well, Pastor, didn't Samson do some good things? I'm glad you ask about his eyes. And some of you think the Bible was written by dumb people. The whole time, right in front of your eyes, God is basically saying, you don't want to live before my eyes? I'm going to take your eyes. We're done. I say the behavior cost Samson his eyes. Judges 16. But the Philistines took him, and they put out the same Hebrew word, friend, his eyes, dual, two of them, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass or bronze, and he did grind in the prison house. He ground the grain. Verse 28, this is the very end of the chapter, his life. Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be avenged of the Philistines. For, so I want to say this, sooner or later, I know, do you realize I know people that come to Lake County? I could tell you reasonably sure who reads the Bible in this room. How do I know? It comes out of you. I have a person that's not in this room tonight, so I can brag on her. Has anybody noticed who always answers all of the questions in Sunday school? She's not the smartest person in this room. But Renee knows the Bible better than, I think, just about any layperson I've met. How is that? By the way, you either live in the sight of God, or your eyes are going to get put out, and you're going to have friends, and you're going to wonder, what are they doing? Why are they doing that? What's going on? There's consequences to doing this. Hey, there's consequences to doing what is right in your eyes. Father, thank you for this time. Bless our time, I ask in Christ's name. Amen.